Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Diving right back into it here on 96.5 The Fan. Chiefs lose last night to the Chargers 31-28 in a, disappointing loss. Uh-huh. A lot of disappointment last night in that game. Obviously, for most of you that saw it on X, the Chris Jones play, I did have to forget that there are some people that don't have that. I would assume that if you just Google search Chris Jones, Jaguars, you will see the play.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen a lot of texts come in about it. We'll get to that in a little bit. But before we do that, we will do our script where, once again, we are so very wrong. So, Nathan, I'll give you some time to set it up, but let her rip.
Here we go.
All right. I think it's going to be a fun game, guys. The playbook is now officially expanded, even from where it was last week. What we saw with Rashard Smith, what he could do, that's why I'm more excited about this one than anything.
That's good.
I expect him to do more. I thought we had a really good kind of launch into the Rashard Smith era. I'm ready to see him do more. He's a weapon. He's multidimensional. Let's get him involved. Now, let's talk about Worthy a little bit. He's got a game under his belt. He should be ready to take it to the next level. Gained confidence last week. I think he's going to have a very, very, very large day. Travis Kelce will get into the end zone.
Yay.
The defense will continue to show its dominance. They'll make Trevor Lawrence look like Lawrence Welk. They'll force him into two turnovers. Butker misses another kick, but the Chiefs win 35-0.
Well, I think this is the Steve Spagnuolo game. I think whether it is rainy or whether it's dry, Steve Spagnuolo takes away the opponent's best thing on offense. It's what the Belichick Patriots used to do. So even in weeks when Cam Scataboo popped off, like it was their plan to take away Malik Nabers.
And
so
they did.
The Chargers, they had success in the pass game, but Spags set out to stop the Chargers from running the football. So I think tonight the focus is on ETN. His over-under is at 64.5. I'm slamming that under for rushing yards. So I think he's going to force Trevor Lawrence to beat them. Brian Thomas Jr., guys, 12 catches so far this year on 32 targets. I think Thomas gets something going with Lawrence, but it's not enough. I also have Butker down. I'm going to say he misses an extra point, but I think the Chiefs have enough on the offensive side, even if Worthy's a little hobbled, to eke one out here. 26-17, Chiefs.
I think the Chiefs come out hot. We talked about it earlier. They were plus 21 in the second quarter. Jacksonville plus 35, point differential, that is, in the second quarter. They haven't played a defense like the Kansas City Chiefs. They haven't played a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes. I think the second quarter kind of indicates where this game will go. I understand it's a four-quarter game, and yes, I watched every game on Sunday, but I think they get Rashard Smith involved early. We saw his snap count go up last week. We heard Andy Reid and Matt Nagy talk about how they want to get him more involved. Yep. The kid has showed some stuff and some improvement and some maturity through the season so far. We're in week five. They drafted him in the seventh round. He could be a sneaky play. I like the screen pass to be something that could be effective, especially if the field is a little bit wet, a little bit soggy. I think that is an advantage of that play. So I like Rashard Smith to be involved early and often. I also like Hollywood Brown in this game. I don't know what Xavier Worthy's, percentage of health is. It'll never be 100% the rest of the year. Hell, nobody will be.
No.
We've already played 1 week in the NFL. I don't know if he's even 80%. The ankle injury scares me. But again, I think this is a game where maybe he's more of a pawn than he is used like he was in the Baltimore Ravens game. Again, come Tuesday, I could be completely wrong. But I like Hollywood in this game underneath and across the middle and to really just kind of sit in the zone and kind of create what is to come out of that, which is the Thornton deep pass again. We didn't see it last week against the Giants, but we will see it this week, against Baltimore, but we will see it this week, I think, against Jacksonville. Let him be lined up with Travis Hunter, hit him with a double move, get over in the secondary in the second level of that defense, and see Mahomes air it out. I do like that this defense can create turnovers in this game. I think this defense creates two turnovers in this game. I think Chris Jones will get a sack in this game as well, so you can all get your Big Mac on Tuesday afternoon. And I don't think weather is going to be as big a factor as we think. And I think Tuesday morning, fellas, I'm going to call it now, Mahomes' name will shift to the lead of the MVP category as the favorite or the leader in the clubhouse. Josh Allen lost, Justin Herbert lost. And so I think the two people above you lost. One team lost to New England, the other team lost to Washington. You have a chance to get to 3-2 and have a dynamite of a performance going back to back to back performances. Patrick Mahomes, Tuesday morning, will be the leader in the clubhouse for the MVP race, and the Chiefs will win this game 31-18. That is my script.
Wah, wah, wah. Well, I think we hit on some things. We all had Breshard Smith playing well, and I thought he was fantastic in this game. I still need more of Breshard Smith. They did get a couple of sacks, so you're still getting your Big Mac. I said Butker would miss a kick. Well, I didn't know he'd kick it out of bounds. I knew he'd do something in this game. I can't do it anymore. I just can't. I'm done. I'm done watching a kicker go out there and torment us, and that's what Harry's doing right now. He's tormenting us. And so we had that, and you had another one that I thought was pretty good as well. Oh, the second quarter. You go, hey, I've watched all these games on Sunday, and I assume you were alluding to all the 14-point comebacks, right? Mm-hmm. Well, you nailed that one, my friend. You got that one pretty good.
I mean, the momentum did shift in the second quarter. I'll give you that, Dusty. I mean, the points weren't at the consistent nature that you said they might be, but I mean, I think the Chiefs had the game on their side until late in that second quarter. And so it turned out to be the pivotal swing part of the game, perhaps.
Yeah, huge part of the game. I mean, obviously, you had them on the ropes. You've got to finish them off. You've got to knock them out. You've got to take care of business. And, you know, just watching the highlights on Good Morning Football, and I know we'll get into Chris Jones, and we'll get your texts and everything about Chris Jones and whatnot, is I'm watching this Good Morning Football, and they showed the video of him throwing the thing on the sidelines or whatever it was after looking at a play and whatnot. Like, it's becoming to me, it's the boy who cried wolf now. Like, enough's enough with the sideline stuff, guys. Seriously, like, week one, okay, you're a little bit frustrated. I understand that. It's happening every week. Stop putting yourself in those positions where those moments are having an impact on you, right? Stop putting yourself in those situations. And so I just think right now this team needs to kind of hit the reset button, take a deep breath, figure out where they are, and try to figure out ways to not make these mistakes again. I was talking to one of our listeners on DM this morning, Dusty, Mr. Austin Sr. He's like, it scares me that they're making all these little mistakes. I go, actually, that's what is encouraging me, because I do think these mistakes are fixable. We're not going out there and going, oh my God, we have no left tackle again, or we have no, you know, right guard, or whatever the position may be that you know we've complained about over the years. It's not a personnel thing. It's not a, oh my God, we don't have good enough players. We just have players that aren't playing smart right now, and they got to start playing smart, and probably smarter than they've ever played before.
So now we get to go to your bonehead of the week.
Boneheads.
Raw. You're an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about.
Better believe it. Take it away.
All right. Well, our boneheads of the week, the entire Chiefs special teams. All the way around.
Even Breshard Smith?
No, Breshard Smith was good. Yeah, 10 of the 11 on special teams. Good point on that one.
Yeah.
We'll start with Jack Cochran. Okay. Oh. Heard your name before. May have said, oh, yeah, that guy plays for the Chiefs. Now I know Jack Cochran plays for the
Chiefs. Wasn't he the guy that tried to fight Travis Kelce at like a training camp a couple years ago, and he was like punching Travis Kelce?
Was that him?
Was that not Jack Cochran? Why do I feel like that was Cochran?
I don't know. May have been.
So you might be right on that, Dusty.
Was that the dude?
I honest to God, no. I mean, yeah. Who knows? But we all know who Jack Cochran is right now, right?
That
He's a household name in Kansas City because of two, not one, but two holding penalties on special teams. That is 100% unacceptable. Factor in Remigio as well. I never heard of that illegal block that he had in that game before. Anybody else ever hear of an illegal double team? Is that something that's new with this new kickoff?
Something that I wish Mr. Mejia would have known, but I can't say I was too
I had no idea about that. And then the rules analyst who stunk last night.
Can't double block.
Can't do it.
Oh, that rules analyst was just, if the call was against Jacksonville, it was, I mean, he was that guy can kiss my white flat ass.
That's what that guy can do. That guy clearly has been upset by the Chiefs for a while.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, it was bad.
We get it. You don't like us. What was that guy's name? Roger, Randy, something like that. I can't remember his name, but yeah, that guy sucks.
Which guy were you talking about?
The rules analyst that they kept going to.
I thought you were talking about Carl Cheffers or something like that. You know, another one of these guys. Every time they brought this guy in,
what a terrible call. What a horrible play.
Oh, that guy sucked.
I'm like, okay, we got it. You ate us.
Yeah, like, I don't even know who that guy was. But
Trying to not show bias. We can. We work local.
I mean, my God, that referee, that's a good call. They should have called that. They should, like, every time they didn't call
the
penalty.
Play, in the end zone, Juju was like a yard and a quarter beyond the line of scrimmage. I mean, I'll concede that. Like, maybe he was a tiptoe above a yard beyond. It wasn't like he was 5 yards down. Like, it was a very, very close call. And he's, like, acting like it's the most egregious thing he's ever
seen. Allen Robinson, a former Jacksonville great wide receiver, because Warren Sharp also did the same thing. What a terror. What a controversy in Jack's Chiefs game.
Of course.
And then Allen Robinson said, no, actually, it's 1 yard. That's a legal play.
Yeah.
That's a wide receiver from Jacksonville. Right, he played there, was good there, and he's defending that play. So, yeah, that
wasn't a penalty, but that rules analyst stunk. So, Jack
Russell,
Cochran.
That was his name, Russell.
Russell Dalrymple, what was his last name?
Hey, Russell.
Hey, Russ.
Yeah.
So, Jack Cochran leads the way. Then Harry Butker also is on the list. We've had 3 losses. He's been a big factor in all 3 losses for the Kansas City Chiefs. Can't kick the ball out of bounds at the end of the game like that, man. Give your defense a fighting chance. I don't know. What happened to kicking it deep through the end zone or kicking it straight down the field and forcing them to have a return and take some time off the clock? Like, we saw the 13-second game, guys.
Am I the only one that saw that we had 3 timeouts in 16 seconds? I was like, well, we've been here before.
Yeah, no, I thought the same thing.
Holding.
Yeah,
number 43.
It was such a microcosm, too, because there was a play with, I think, like 7 seconds left where Hollywood Brown had an angle to field goal range.
Yep.
I mean, like,
yep.
I'm not saying he would have scored, but he would have gotten past midfield if his head was around.
Yep.
And it was just like, if that is not how the last 40 minutes of this game is gone, I don't know what is.
Yeah, so, I mean.
So we got special teams minus Breshard Smith.
Yep.
Harry B.
Yep. And Jack Cochran.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what cost you the game last. Oh, and 13 penalties. You're boneheads for that as well. You can't have 13 penalties in a game. Just a very un-Chiefs-like performance last night from that penalty standpoint. And so they're going to have to work harder. Teams don't fear them. They're not able to overcome everything. And now Good Morning Football is highlighting Chris Jones standing around scratching his ass last night.
Russell York.
In July of 2023, Travis Kelce was involved with a fight with Jack Cochran at training camp when he was the one that tried to punch the ball out. Mm. In the same practice, Travis Kelce and DiCaprio Boodle got into a shot.
That's who I was thinking of too, because the DiCaprio Boodle, I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. That was I remember that. I don't remember Jack Cochran.
That's a cool name if you do it both ways.
DiCaprio Boodle
or Boodle DiCaprio.
Boodle DiCaprio.
Which one you go with?
Yeah.
I'm going with Boodle DiCaprio.
Boodle to anything would be a great name.
DiCaprio. What was his first name again?
DiCaprio Boodle.
DiCaprio Boodle.
Boodle. Or Boodle DiCaprio.
Now
I've gone cross-eyed.
Yeah, I have too. Boodle DiCaprio or DiCaprio Boodle? What about DiCaprio Cochran?
Mm. Well, as the text said earlier, if Cochran can't fit, he must be acquit. I'm still laughing about that. Made my day.
That was really good.
Because I always get, you get texts still, because you've been doing this a while. I get texts all the time when there's games like that. Like, I hope you have a good day tomorrow. It's going to be tough. And I'm like, no, it's going to be great.
Yeah.
It's going to be fine.
You can have some fun with it. Now, as long as it's a one-off or a two, you start losing a lot. It's not fun.
Yeah. I don't
games
want that.
Like this can be good. They really can be good. Like, they needed this wake-up call. This was a bigger wake-up call than the Chargers. This was a bigger wake-up call than Philadelphia. This was the wake-up call that this organization needed. And to me, it just reminds me of that Tennessee game, and it reminds me of the Raider Christmas Day game. Let's see how they respond from that.
We discuss veterans, and then we will get to Josh Briscoe here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Chiefs.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
.913-586-7965. That is your path to the show. Okay, the quit text was all over Facebook last night. Don't give that texter the month off. Well, I hadn't seen it.
I hadn't seen it either.
I
so
wasn't on Facebook
how about
last
getting
night?
Mad about that? Because somebody sent in a nice text that we thought was funny, and then you get mad that it was all over social media. Don't give them the day off. Did you want the day off too?
Yeah. So a lot of people now. Throwing the quarterback under the bus.
Patrick?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
He threw a pick six. It's his fault, too.
Go back and watch the video of that. If you think that's Patrick Mahomes' fault, man, that Lloyd guy, I don't know that I've seen a middle linebacker make a play like that in I don't know how long, man. Like, that guy started at the middle linebacker position, came forward a couple steps, got lost behind the defensive line. In that time, Mahomes saw his guy coming across the middle, fired it, and then all of a sudden that Lloyd guy retreated right back and was right there in perfect position. That guy did his homework. That's not on Patrick Mahomes. That's you're taking away the credit from that Lloyd guy for making that interception. The 99-yard run was gravy on top of the play that that guy made. He showed he's a smart, focused football player who didn't have his fifth-year option picked up and is now your defensive player so far of the year in the NFL, and he's going to be making bank after this season.
And I kid to the text line before I say this. I'm kidding. Isn't Josh Simmons supposed to come chase that guy down on the sideline there? Where is 71 on the chase down?
Yeah.
That is true. Like yeah. Mahomes was the only one who put any effort into that at that point in time. Did he make a mistake? Probably. Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably. But I got to give Lloyd all the credit in the world for that. And then Danan said later, he goes, look, the Chiefs didn't throw after that down in that area. They ran it the entire time. So maybe that's something now right. that they'll look at. You can take a positive away from a negative of it.
And again, people are saying, like, here's I'm going to give you the context of what the person said. They said, yeah, we're going to blame Chris Jones, but let's not blame your golden boy, Patrick Mahomes, who threw a pick six. Again, I blame Patrick Mahomes for throwing the pick six. That is not the conversation. The conversation is Patrick Mahomes didn't throw that pick and just throw his arms up in the air and walk off the field. The narrative of the conversation is Chris Jones stood there and watched and gave zero effort in a moment where he needed to. Patrick Mahomes is 100% at fault for throwing the interception, but he didn't just piss and moan and cry about it. He tried to make a tackle. He tried to do something. That's the conversation. Not saying that Patrick Mahomes is not at fault for throwing the interception. So listen before you try to react and make sure you know what we're talking about. Chris Jones quit on that play. He's now quit on Twitter. He's quit on Instagram. That's what we're talking about. Tyquan Thornton ran down the field and tried to make a play. The conversation is, in that moment where Chris Jones was needed to be there, he was watching, standing, walking. When Patrick Mahomes threw a pick, that yes, is his fault, he did not just go off to the field, throw his arms up in the air. He actually tried to make a play.
He tried to make a play, sacrificed his body.
It's two things.
Nobody else did. It is two separate conversations.
Yes, it's a bad interception. It's a 14-point swing. It's on the goal line. It's all there. Right. It's 99-yard pick six. No one is debating that. What we are debating is why your leaders are quitting on the team.
Right. And really the interesting thing about the Chris Jones stuff for me is shows who he really is, right? Your team just got beat. You're on social media when the times are good and celebrating with everybody and living up life and enjoying the winning. Things are a little tough right now. Not hard to overcome. You're 2-3 through five games. Whoop-de-doo. You can overcome that. But to me, by deleting social media, deleting your Instagram and deleting Twitter is a direct reflection of what you did last night in that game. You quit. You don't quit that kind of stuff. You had a bad day. You rally and you say, you know what? I did stink last night. The fans are right. Now, I'm not sure what's being said. If you're being vulgar, if you're being crude, if you're being socially unacceptable, screw you. You're the one that should be deleting your Twitter and Instagram accounts. You should not be attacking and taking personal shots at a player where they have to delete their account. But also, too, you've got to be thicker skin than that if you're a professional athlete. Not every day is going to be great. We've had a great run here in Kansas City. We're on a great run here in Kansas City. It's always not going to be 100% perfect. And when things go wrong and fans saw you quit on the field, that's going to tick them off. Fans spend good money to go watch the teams play. They feel ownership in the team. And when somebody quits on them, like we saw last night, you quit on the fans too. You quit on the town. You quit on your teammates. And then you quit social media. How about putting up a tweet going, I apologize. I screwed this up. This is on me. Take all the blame for it. Own that. Be an adult. Don't delete your social media.
Yeah, and it's not just Mahomes' response within that play that was different than Chris Jones's response. Mahomes then came back on the field and led a drive that took up half of the fourth
quarter.
Mahomes
has led this team to everything this year.
Mahomes then, and I didn't get a chance to listen to Josh Briscoe after the game. I went directly to bed, as I'm sure you guys did as well. I guarantee Mahomes went in the locker room and said, hey, that's on me. I got to be better there. Hats off to Lloyd, but I made a mistake there. Mm-hmm. Let my guys down. And the other leader is standing and watching with 20 seconds left, deleting social media. It's just not a good look at all.
Right. It's not. It really is a bad look. It's a childish look when you delete social media like that.
I can also take the other side and defend him because I know that his aunt passed away.
Sure.
And there are evil people. I mean, there's evil people on this text line right now just throwing all
if you're doing stuff like that, you're a loser,
and
man.
I think that's part of the reason why he's probably like, you know what? I'm going to get out of this. And again, a lot of it is, you know, watching the plays on the field last night. But I think a lot of it is probably there are just asshats out there that like to be those people. I think there's trolls all morning. People saying, I got Mahomes' balls in my hands and all this sort of stuff. Like, you woke up, got on your phone, and thought, you know what? I'm going to be an ass and troll these people that I've never met in my life and just to do it, to do it. Like, I hope you find peace and happiness and I hope you find kindness in the world, but there's not a lot of time for you guys. So I think on the other side of it, yes, you got to get rid of stuff when it's making you, you know, feel a certain way. And I'm sure that there are people out there that are going at Chris Jones for things that aren't involving football.
Yeah, and that's ridiculous. If you go the personal shot route and take shots at his family or whatever it is, him, you can comment on his play. That is all 100% above board. You start taking personal shots on social media, you're the problem. Yeah. Not Chris Jones. You're the problem.
Right.
But also, don't read it, man. Just stay on there. Don't go to social media.
Right.
You don't have to respond or even look at what's going on social media. It's okay to keep that phone in your pocket, delete the app. When you delete social media, it does look like you're running from something, though. Don't let some bad apples spoil everything that you've done here in Kansas City. And I know fans are pissed, and they should be. It was a bad look by Chris Jones last night. But it's no reason to personally attack him on social media.
Yeah, somebody says, can we give praise to McDuffie for the interception? Yeah. Even though it was a bad missed call. But either way,
got it.
We didn't do it.
Yeah.
Should have been two interceptions for McDuffie. I cannot get over that interception drop in the corner of the field. I just cannot get over it. That's... When you watch this game again, if you do, or you go back and think to yourself, like, where it shifted, it was that play.
Yeah.
That's the play. When that happened, I was like, that's just not good because that's a second opportunity. That's a second chance. That's all this sort of stuff that the game shifts. And then you throw the pick six on top of that. Like, I don't know how many pick six we've seen Mahomes throw in his career, but, I mean, it seems like that one was one of the more brutal ones that we've seen. Uh-huh. So, yeah, last night's game, you know, we've discussed what's happened with the end of the game with Chris Jones, the player, not, you know, what's going on outside of his life.
Right.
You know, I thought Kelce played well. I thought that, you know, Patrick Mahomes was good. I mean, obviously mm-hmm. he made a mistake. I thought the running game was great. Like they said, we were averaging, 7 yards a carry? Is that right? Or averaging, yeah, I mean, that's nuts. I mean,
the Chiefs averaged 7.2 yards per carry yesterday.
And that's
insane.
Usually, that's usually something that it's like, okay, Mahomes broke off a few big scrambles, and it makes that number look better. Mahomes ran the ball 6 times for 60 yards, so it wasn't at a much higher clip than that. It's not like he's drastically raising those numbers. I mean the ground attack was, and I don't want to come out and say I'm okay with the penalty. Kingsley Suamataia was called for a holding penalty in the game.
Mm-hmm.
That offensive line has looked good week after week. It's been almost a month now of seeing them improve week after week. So not for nothing there. Those guys are playing well up front.
You know, they're playing really good up front right now. And I have no questions in my mind, no concerns in my mind at all about this offensive line. You saw Patrick back there. He had all day a number of times to throw mm-hmm. that football. And when you run for 7.2 yards a clip, you're doing things on the offensive line. They have figured things out. Trey and Creed were outstanding last night. We criticized them a couple of weeks ago, and rightfully so. But they're playing awesome right now. Trey and Creed have stepped up their game. Simmons is outstanding. Kingsley's playing good. Juwan Taylor, they flag him yesterday. That's the wide receiver not lining up the proper way. You've got to be on that line or uncovered, however it works. That's on the wide receiver, not him. He's been great since Andy Reid has called him out. I have no question marks with this offensive line right now. I love the way this offensive line is playing.
I think the other thing that you could say is, yes, the Chiefs puked away a lot of opportunities last night, but the Jacksonville Jaguars also took those opportunities and won the game. They were not scared. They were not afraid. They did not run away. They stuck with it, and they ended up winning the game, and Trevor Lawrence was good, mm-hmm. especially down the stretch. He was good, and, you know, you might have let them score too quick. I don't know, you might have scored too quick, but again, that's a game last night that in the last 7 years of this Chiefs franchise, we've seen them win. That's a game they didn't win. That's alarming. Watching how the game ended, Trevor Lawrence lying on the ground, gets up, scores, 95, watches him walk in. So there's, I think, a lot of reason why the fan base is maybe feeling a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the reason for that is because you're seeing what's not the norm, right? Like 14-point lead, they had won 23 straight games. That ended.
Right.
They were up 14-0, could have been up way more. They drop an interception. There's uncharacteristic plays. To me, what I'm starting to see from this team is everybody's trying to play and think too much. And I think they've gotten away from what their strength is, and that is just being a God-given talent team mm-hmm. that knows how to go out there and play. You're seeing that affect these players, and what that's causing is teams that you're playing not having that fear of, like, we can't get Patrick Mahomes' ball back. We can't, you know, we can't turn it over. We can't share field goals for touchdowns. That whole thing is out.
Mm-hmm.
Now the Chiefs are 2-3. Detroit comes to town. You have a chance to either go to 500 again, or you have a chance to go to two games under 500.
Right.
So a big pivotal week coming up for this Kansas City Chiefs team. I wonder if it's too early to kind of have a moment with this team to be like, hey, we're back at practice today. Get your head out of your ass. Don't worry about this loss. Grow from it, get better. Is there anything anyone would like to vent about? Is there anything that we'd like to have a conversation about? Is there anybody in here that has something they'd like to say?
Yeah.
If not, I'm going to assume everything's well, even though I know it's not.
Right, yeah, and that's ultimately what you have to do as the leader of this franchise. You gather everybody around, and you say, look, if you have nothing to say right now, then nobody's going to say anything. We're not going to act like we do on the sidelines where everybody's throwing things and doing all that kind of stuff. The one thing that we're going to do is we're going to get back to basics because we're not far away. It's the little things. We correct these little things, we'll be okay. Remember, this team was 1-5 in 2015 and won 10 in a row, and the talent level on that team wasn't even as close to the talent level on this team right now.
Let's get to our first Josh of the day. Josh Briscoe joins us now.
He's the first voice you hear 3 hours before kickoff and the first voice you hear after the final whistle.
Future Hall of Fame receiver, future Hall of Fame quarterback, being able to figure it out for the last half of the season.
Here's the new Chiefs Radio Network pregame and postgame show host, Josh Briscoe.
That's right. You hear him pre and post. You heard him like, what, 2 hours ago when he finally got off the air?
When'd you get out of here?
Josh Briscoe, how much sleep have you gotten so far in the last 8 hours?
More than you guys, probably pretty close to 6 hours, I would say. So really, my rest levels aren't the problem. My record is the problem. The murmurs have begun once again. This might be my fault. I don't know. I am not having a winning start doing pre and post. I'm having a great time doing it. I was having a great time doing pregame. I don't know about postgame. There have been some rough ones.
Well, it's our fault that they lost the Super Bowl, so we feel your pain, JB.
Good. Great. Okay, good. We can share that one a little bit. I appreciate that.
Yeah, we all got to own it. And I'll tell you what, I didn't see you last night, but I know you can watch as good as Chris Jones can.
Yeah, no, I had a pretty good view for it. And
so did he.
Look, I understand. Yeah, no, I understand. And I saw that clip in the playback and I went, oh, this is good. I know what we're going to start with tomorrow morning. Because it, you know, that's the way that it goes. I really put some thought into it, guys, because I here's the first thing. Okay. First of all, that's a brutal look for Chris Jones. It's a brutal play at a bad time. And I'm not defending that having an effort problem, or at least what looks like an effort problem, and what ends up being the game changing play. I guess there's a penalty, so it wouldn't have been the end either way. But that's a terrible look, and you can't have that. But I do think I've solved a little bit of something. I'm genuinely interested if you guys think this is fair. I think we spend so much time blaming Chris Jones because he's one of two defensive players, maybe three, who we're comfortable having expectations for. Because we talk about Chris Jones every time the Chiefs lose, and George Karlaftis, he fades into the mist. Gary Tillery fades into the mist. I know Omar Norman Lott, Ashton Gelati was out there yesterday. There has not been... Charles Aminihou had a few good snaps. That was great. Maybe his first couple of impact plays of the season by and large. So I understand why the conversation always begins with the star of your defense. But, man, it's still really tough for me to have any way to envision that, oh, you know what this defense looks like without Chris Jones? You saw it on that Trevor Lawrence touchdown because he took himself back. He was gassed, whatever. I just think this defense continues to have some real personnel problems that we probably don't spend enough time talking about because of Chris Jones' cap number. That's my theory.
So what you're saying, Briscoe, is that we go from wanting a running back in this team to maybe going and trading for an edge rusher.
Yeah, and not to pat myself on the back, I wish I was wrong. I've been here for a really long time. We were talking about this together last year, early in the season, as the Chiefs pass rush, the four-man rush, was not effective enough. And you go, okay, well, there's Chris Jones and there's Steve Spagnuolo doing stuff with the blitz. What else is there going to be? And I like George Karlaftis. I think he's a nice player, but they make him their big investment on that defensive line this offseason. And again, Omar's been off and on, and they had him put on a bunch of weight in training camp. Ashton Gelati looks like a nice player, but that doesn't mean he's an impact player right now. So yeah, I mean, you can look back to the, I don't know, what's the most fun, what was the most fun mercenary contract or mercenary trade? Was Melvin Ingram, I guess, maybe. Mm-hmm. There's a couple options that you can pick. I think they probably should be looking at that because having one more legitimate plus player on the edge would really help this defense. And look, I'll take this one. I told you guys months ago, I think Charles Aminihou was the most underrated defensive player coming into this season. He hasn't had that kind of impact post-injury. And I don't know if he's ever getting back to full speed that we saw him at. So there are just so many places. And again, Shamari Connor is a nice player in some circumstances. Do you guys know how many of the defensive snaps he's played this season?
Negative.
100%. He's played every defensive snap, according to Pro Football Reference. He's played 303 of 303 available defensive snaps.
Wow.
And that's tough for me. And I will say maybe there's a rounding error there. Pro Football Reference is a clean, flat 100%. So I don't think Noel Williams is single-handedly saving the defense yesterday. I don't think Chris Roland Wallace is single-handedly stopping all of those big plays. But the idea that Noel Williams got four defensive snaps, and I need to see where Trent McDuffie lined up and why that didn't work better. It's just such a frustrating day all across the defense. You can make it from Chris Jones to Spags to Nick Bolton. Trent McDuffie might be the only guy that I don't have a play in my mind. Man, what was he doing? He's one of the other guys we're comfortable having expectations for.
When you look at this game last night and you look at it from the offensive side, obviously, I don't think Xavier Worthy was himself like he was in that Ravens game. He was clearly beat up with that ankle. But when you look at this game, Travis Kelce did his part on the offensive side. That offensive line is what, the only silver lining that comes from this game?
Yeah, the offensive line is very much worth it. I actually think, and again, the result makes this so easy to gloss over, and understandably, and they got to gloss over because they got to get to the Lions game on Sunday. But Tyquan Thornton, who ended the game 3-for-90, had 3-for-90 at halftime. Isaiah Pacheco had a couple of his best runs of the season and looked a little bit more like his old self, a little bit more of that violence. He had one nice little cutback. That, I'm not telling you he's turning into Adrian Peterson, but it was a nice game for him. It was a nice game for Kareem Hunt, who busted off a 33-yarder, who hurdled a guy, stuff I didn't know that he could still do. And then ultimately, by the time the game's over, your leading rusher is Patrick Mahomes, and you have too many of those back-breaking mistakes to survive it. So I really do think, especially in that first half, not only were there silver linings, there was some exciting stuff. Yeah. They were spreading the ball around. Lots of guys got involved. And then it just absolutely fell apart. That sequence around halftime, before and after, so many opportunities to put this game away.
I love what they did offensively. I like overwhelmed in the first couple of drives. Like, this is great. This is what we've been lacking. And then they stopped. And then they kind of went, you know, back to, you know, getting stopped by Jacksonville, who, credit them, they made adjustments, they made changes. Lloyd's interception, just a brilliant play by him. He's so smart as a linebacker. I mean, he just made such a great play yesterday on Patrick Mahomes. Then they got it back, you know, again. But I don't hate to be this guy because I feel like I'm speaking for everybody. We've had three losses this season, and Harrison Butker has been a major factor in all three of these losses. I am done with watching Harrison Butker give us an opportunity to lose games as opposed to win games now. And Josh, he's nothing special anymore. Everybody can kick a 60-yard field goal in the NFL.
That's the thing. I'm guessing you guys may have mentioned this, but I think Nick Springer, my producer there for pregame and postgame for the Chiefs Radio Network, he mentioned on that late punt, like, wait a second, I think this is a 61-yard field goal. Harrison Butker can't kick from 61 now. And then even more damningly at the end of the game, he can't kick it into the landing zone in the most important moment, the most important kickoff of the game. I don't think it makes you that guy to say that Harrison Butker has cost the Chiefs all season so far. And I'm with you. What I've just sort of taken to saying right now is that Harrison Butker is something he hasn't been in a very long time. He's just a kicker. He's an NFL kicker, and he's not a particularly high-ranking one right now. Is his ceiling still up there? I suppose. But the balls have gotten easier to kick. The young kickers are getting stronger, and he's making mistakes. Like, if it was just the thing, like it was a couple of seasons ago, where he had a bunch of weird, like, PAT short yardage issues, well, that's one thing. If he loses a little bit of distance because, you know, the ankle injury he had, well, that's one thing. If he struggled to deal with the new kickoff rules, where the Chiefs have just been really tough on special teams all year, it feels like. Mm-hmm. If he was just struggling to put the ball in the landing zone, well, that's one thing. But right now, he's shaky short. They don't seem to trust him long, and he made a brutal, brutal mistake on the kickoff. It's just not stuff that you can be doing as theoretically the best kicker in football. And obviously this year hasn't even been close to that.
Last one for you, JB. Do people still fear the Chiefs?
I think the context for that will matter. I don't think that the Detroit Lions should come to town fearing the Chiefs. I think if somebody hosts the Chiefs in the wild card round of the playoffs, they will be absolutely terrified. And that's a projection. That's a return of Rashee Rice. And really, even in this game, it's so, and this is the NFL. This is how it works. Mm-hmm. We are two plays, maybe one, or no, that's not even true. We're one play away from talking about how the Chiefs escaped against a scrappy Jags team on the road. The turnovers was there. They got one back. We are a play away from saying the Chiefs are in a spot to be at least 500 when Rashee Rice returns, and they got away with this win in Jacksonville, and the vibes would be totally, totally different today, even though all the performances would be ostensibly pretty much the same. Mm-hmm. So I still think it's far too soon to be talking about, like, oh, no, yeah, no one fears the Chiefs anymore. I think no one fears the Ravens right now, but, like, the Eagles lost to the Broncos, and they're still going to be fearsome, even though they're weird, too. So, and Tim basically goes for the Bills. It's a weird league. It's a stuffy AFC. I think the Chiefs remain very much in the mix. I think that mystique will remain once the weather gets colder.
Yeah, I'm with you 100% on that. They're still the Chiefs. They're only 2-3. The world is not ending. This could be the Raider game. This could be the Tennessee game. Use it for good and figure things out. 2-3. We're still very much alive for this thing.
The Lions game on Sunday night is going to be a big one, man. That's a good football team. And 2-4 doesn't feel very good. But I'm with you, man. Rashee Rice comes back and this offense gets another gear. You just got to, and I would trust Spags to do this to some extent. You've got to figure out what's going on defensively. I really do think maybe you find an edge rusher somewhere. Maybe Spags gets one more crack at kind of tightening that rotation a little bit. I think the offense could still be very, very good. You just have no margin for error now, which obviously isn't a world the Chiefs have lived in very much.
Well, Briscoe, keep doing the Lord's work for pre and post game, and another late one for you on Sunday night, but we're here for it. We appreciate the time.
May your caffeine get you to 10:01 a.m., fellas. I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Josh.
That's Josh Briscoe there joining us. He does pre- and post-game on the Chiefs Radio Network. Hey, another bright light at the end of the tunnel because we made you some money last night.
That's
if you
right.
would have followed us, we have proof, and we will give it to you on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. I got Mahomes' balls in my hands.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh boy, we got some tough ones on the text line today. Some tough guys.
Tough guys or people in a tough spot.
We'll call them Todds or Toads. I wish you guys would be more realistic. We just listened to you be wrong about the Royals for an entire season based on but hope. None of you know any more than the average fan does. You spew hyperbolic all year with no insight for real.
Yes, you're absolutely right about that. The fact of the matter is, though, we're entertaining and you're not.
Yeah, you can come in here and do a segment
you
if you like.
Do the whole show.
Feel free. 7,000 Squibb Road. Come on up here, buddy.
Yeah,
come down here and sit down and put a mic in front of your face, and we'll see what you have to say.
We'll back away, and we'll let you do your thing.
Congratulations, being miserable and a troll.
I mean, yeah, I understand everybody's in their feelings this morning, and rightfully so. That game last night was not a fun one to watch, especially when you're up 14-0. You should put that game away and win that thing.
Were the Royals in playoff contention?
All year long, okay. They were.
Well,
yeah.
Hold on, Bob. You were just getting into criticism there of the Chiefs. And according to the text line, that's not what's you are doing that.
We've been critical of the Chiefs all morning long.
Since
6 o'clock this morning, we've been pretty critical of this franchise.
Oh, so he's
now,
wrong.
You can point out things that were good, and you can point out things that were bad in this game, no doubt. I mean, there were some really good things. Like, if you're still questioning whether or not the offense has it, stop. Because this offense is awesome, and it's only going to get better. The problem was the mental mistakes, and I think those are fixable mistakes. I do. I think mental mistakes are fixable. Personnel mistakes are harder to overcome, right? Like we talked about all last year, we didn't have a left tackle. There was nothing we could do in the course of the season to get one, okay? But you know what you can correct? Mental mistakes. It's all about taking a deep breath, thinking, not reacting, doing the right thing, playing within the rules of the game. Those are fixable things. Turnovers are fixable things. Not having the right personnel, that's not a fixable thing. And at this point in time, I think they have pretty much good personnel. Maybe you pick up a defensive lineman somewhere before the trade deadline, but you don't have to go out there and look for somebody that's going to take you to the next level on either side of the ball. You have all that. You just have to play a smarter brand of football. And last night, they played a very not smart brand of football.
Here's something realistic for you, Fesco. We made money last night for anybody that tagged along on our parlay. Again, this parlay was plus 800. Travis Kelce touchdown. That happened, right?
Yes, it did. Okay. Almost had two yesterday.
Yeah. Tyquan Thornton, his over-under yards on DraftKings was 16.5. What did he finish with?
A lot.
90.
Yeah. I think it hit before the game started.
It hit on the first play they threw to him.
Yeah.
I got a ton of texts where people were like, nice call on Thornton. And then I got a couple others that were like, should have bet alternate yards like 40 or 50. Thank you.
Yes,
but he got 16.5.
And you know what?
It.
I should have played the Powerball numbers that won yesterday.
Yeah. And then Nathan had Isaiah Pacheco to have more than 29.5 yards. I believe he had 38.
36 is 36. What the final stats say. You got it.
By the skin of your teeth.
He sat there right at 30
for
half of the game. And I'm like, man, he's gonna lose a yard and that'll be it. Hey, plus 800.
Yeah, we won for you yesterday. So the Chiefs may not have won on the field, but if you followed us, you would have won with your pocketbook.
So I don't know how realistic that is for you, Daryl or Todd, whoever you are in the text line, but there you go. That's a realistic hit for the first time all year. Hey, it took 5 weeks.
But hey, so what? We got it, right?
Yeah. It was, Travis Kelce, anytime touchdown. Tyquan Thornton over 16.5 yards receiving, and Isaiah Pacheco to have more than 29.5 rushing yards.
You talk about Tyquan Thornton doing what he did yesterday, right? He's been very good for this team. This is what I talk about when I say franchises ruin quarterbacks as much as quarterbacks ruin themselves. I think it's a 50-50 split for franchises that ruin quarterbacks versus quarterbacks that just suck. But that goes for just about every player out there. How Tyquan Thornton could not find a spot on a very bad New England Patriots team for the last year or so as a second round pick is beyond me. And you know why he wasn't successful in New England? Because it wasn't a successful organization at the time that he was there. The coach was not good. The quarterback was not good. He did not have the opportunity to go out there and play like he does here in Kansas City with geniuses in on the coaching staff on the offensive side, a genius at quarterback that can get him the football. Tyquan Thornton right now is showing why he was a second round pick, and he's able to do that because of the infrastructure around him is so much better than it was in New England. And now once we get Rice back too into the mix, Tyquan Thornton's all of a sudden your number four. Hey, Hollywood Brown had himself a night last night too.
He had a great catch last night.
You know, stupid penalty again. You know, you can't do that kind of stuff. Punch somebody in the face and get a 15 yarder. But I thought Hollywood Brown, man, like he was good last night
till the very end.
Yeah.
Hit him right in the shoulder.
Yeah, gotta turn your head.
Gotta catch that.
Well, it's Mahomes' fault. He threw it too early. I'm just trying not to have his balls in my hand. As we now have a new favorite drop.
Well, Hollywood Brown didn't either.
No, he didn't. He didn't have it either.
No.
Yeah, no, he didn't. And you gotta take it and move forward. Look, they've got maybe three more losses they can afford, and we've got 12 more games left. So you think about the numbers there. You got to go 8-9-3 the rest of the week.
Yeah.
And the rest of the season.
You can do that. You're very capable
break
of doing that.
Break the season
that.
Down to do that. You got Denver twice, the Chargers again, Buffalo, Raiders, Commanders, Christ. All that sort of stuff. So, but you got to let it all go as we move on to Motown.
Because now it's Tuesday and you're already a day behind. So you got to focus on moving forward.
We'll get to start bench cut on the other side here. Brought to you by Jay Southanto. Get the note, Jay Southanto.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.